Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Futures red as the bulls try to snap a three-week slide for the Dow and the S&P. Trade's going to dominate the headlines as talks begin this week. Throw in 11 Fed speakers, some inflation data, Fed minutes, and, of course, a trickle of earnings. Europe is green, 10-year 154. Our roadmap begins with China trade concerns, with talks set to resume. Reports that a broad deal could be off the table. Stock set to open lower.
Plus, underperforming a status check on the now not so hot IPO market.
And the NBA's China headache. One manager's tweet about Hong Kong sparking a business backlash and a political firestorm. The Dow and the S&P now in the midst of a three-week loss despite a Friday rally, which was the best one-day performance since August. We're set for a lower open. China reportedly looking for a limited trade agreement when talks begin with the U.S. later this week. This Bloomberg piece, guys, talking about how don't expect massive agreement this week, but who knows? Still early.
Well, there was conflicting reports out of, I felt, the administration last week. On Friday, Larry Kudlow, chief economic advisor, basically said, look, there could be some good things. But if you look at the agenda of what the president wants, it's the exact opposite of what the Chinese said to Bloomberg. The president's hoping to see an end to the stealing of intellectual property. He's hoping to see the end of the forced technology transfers, hoping to see the end of the fentanyl deluge, hoping that no more of our businesses are targeted, hoping that there's no more subsidized state enterprises and no more cyber theft. Well, I mean, that's the broad deal. And if the Chinese aren't going to agree to that framework, and then that means they're going to default to buying something. And that's not good enough for the president.
Well, and this is why we're now hearing about what they're calling sequencing, right?
Yes.
Where stage one, you buy some ag. Stage two, you commit to some IP. And then finally, right, the final sequence would be a rollback of tariffs.
Right. And I know that, say, Peter Navarro, that is antithetical to everything he believes in, which is that the notion that the Chinese should get anything from buying ag is just foolhardy. They'll buy pork when they don't want pork that has swine flu. I mean, what they want is a rollback of the 2025 plan of domination. And that's not what the Chinese want to do. So I think it's status quo and get ready for the next round of tariffs.
When does the president make his move, as so many expect, to just get something done because it will be beneficial to the reelection effort?
Well,
in terms of reinvigorating the economy, and then you're going to have low rates as well, and conceivably that could present a real tailwind.
Well, I think that conceivably what you would do if you're a strategist and didn't care about anything other than the cynical nature of winning, okay, a little cynical, but is that you would say, listen, Elizabeth Warren doesn't believe in talks. We could get something done. Remember, as a precondition to sitting down with the Chinese, she's demanding that they go for the Paris Accords. She has an interesting point about religious freedom and speech. Well, you know what? We, on the one hand, we've got the general manager of the Houston Rockets, religious freedom, speech, right, Hong Kong. On the other hand, we've got general corporate interests being willing to sacrifice on the notion of the dollar in China. That is writ large right there, the difference between President Warren and maybe President Trump.
It's funny how you talk about that. It's starting to get a lot of circulation. I'm reading an RBC note this morning. Four thoughts on the implications for the U.S. equity market if Elizabeth Warren wins the White House in 2020.
Oh, it's
They're actually warming up to her. It won't be quite as bad as everybody thinks.
I've been warming up to that. What have I been
here?
I've been saying this for weeks that you got to look at her.
Growing popularity of ESG as an investment approach.
Yes.
Utilities and REITs might be in favor because dividends won't be necessarily.
Utilities have been the best performing. Utilities have been the best performers.
Small caps might be better off than large caps.
She's not in favor of small caps.
No. Well, not necessarily, but. Initial assessment, small caps may have less direct policy risk than large caps.
That's very true.
And then also they point out, of course, that over time stock markets go up.
I wrote that piece. It's just watch Mad Money. There was a guy watches Mad Money. He's paid for watching Mad Money.
When Democrats control the White House and both chambers of commerce, or the best historical returns when Democrats control the White House and one of the chambers of commerce.
Well, there you go. I mean, what can I say? That's more reason to buy the market. They're buying the NASDAQ off that. Who is that strategist?
Well, let me find that for you.
It's top flight.
High in the election RBC Capital Markets, Lori Calvert. Lori!
It's Lori.
Comes on all the time.
Oh, never mind.
Who's been actually really
and
always
correctly,
good.
Very good.
Yes, cautious on the market this
very
year.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, look, I just think that if we don't start talking about the dichotomy of Warren versus Trump, we're not helping the viewers.
A little
early.
There's
two Fox polls this morning as Biden up in South Carolina and Wisconsin.
So. All right. Well, we'll stay on that. Biden is for status quo. Apparently, I mean, look, let's say Biden is for what Obama was for, then I think that you could have a market which says there'll be a deal. Right? No fight. Obama, Chinese.
So, but in answer to the question of whether Trump at some point will make any deal because it will help his re-election
chances. I don't think that's true.
You don't think that's true?
No, I think that there's actually...
You know, that is a fairly common refrain you hear.
I'm going to give you a shocker. I think that there are principles involved. Don't you make that face. It's a podcast.
What face did I make?
You made that non-podcast face. David, I have to keep emphasizing you, there's a podcast. Okay? Mm-hmm. I think, no kidding around, I do not think that the president's close. If the Chinese had said everything's on the table, then I would say, you know what, it's possible something could happen. But they came out this weekend and said not.
Yep.
So what are you going to do? They're basically saying, listen, this stuff is not on the table. Well, then how can there be a comprehensive trade agreement?
Well, and now Hong Kong, just an awful weekend in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And now there's talk about what options may go to next, whether it's curfews, forced detentions, but not a good situation at all.
No.
In Hong Kong. And by the way, commercial property market had the worst month since it was handed over back to China as a British colony in 97.
We talk a lot about how we, meaning the mainstream media, talk a lot about how the Chinese would be losing face if they cave to President Trump. Don't they lose face every Sunday? I mean, look at that. We have this video of the police lobbing tear gas, and then we have a video of people picking up the tear gas and throwing it back at the police. Is that loss of face, or is that like business as usual? That's face loss. It's loss of face.
Okay, it may be.
Maybe.
The Chinese military has yet to move in.
Well, what would that look like?
I don't know.
Everybody knows what that would look like. They all talk about the T word.
Reports said the PLA raised a warning flag for the first time.
Yes, a yellow flag of some kind.
And PLA looked like chumps. Wow.
They're going to revoke your contract to tour the country.
Well, listen, I was going to be a Nets season ticket holder.
Yeah.
I love the
your
Nets.
Your distribution rights
Coach
just been
terrific.
Void.
I like
canceled.
The Nets. I just got a Nets. You know, I like the Nets. I hope that Joe Tsai will let me... Would he get that granular?
He would be happy to have you.
Not let me have a.
I would absolutely. He will be very happy to have you.
I used to be a season ticket holder, but he let me come back just as a kind of a.
Fair weather fan, though. That's what you.
You know Joe Tsai. Can't you get Joe Tsai on the show?
I'll try.
All right?
Sure, I'll try.
I think you have a better shot than anyone else in the media.
I probably will fail, but I will try. Thank you.
All right, I'm getting a season ticket. I'll get my wife to get season tickets, and it'll come on.
Yeah, the intersection of China and basketball today is a big story. But IPO is the other big story. Many high-profile companies have seen their stocks slide after their debuts. Goldman says IPO stock performance this year is now the worst it's been since 95. Overall, companies that have gone public are trading about 5% above their IPO price. That's according to Dealogic. The S&P, by comparison, is up 18% this year. Jim, that did not stop at least four analysts from initiating Smile Direct at a buyer outperformance.
How painful was that? I mean, look, what are they going to do if the stock's well underwater? They got to come out with an overweight if they were involved. The clear aligners have the potential to drive deep penetration into the malocclusion market, David. That's J.P. Morgan's comment on Smile Direct.
And then Citi ups Uber to a buy.
Yeah, that was nice.
Keeps 45, but says we're going to see a positive shift in sentiment.
Well, I do think that there was a moment in the Costco quarter where Costco is, this is, bear with me, Mr. Galante, who's the CFO, is talking about how freight prices have come down year over year, but expects them to go lower. That is Uber Freight at work. Uber Freight is flooding the freight market with new drivers. And that had been a driver shortage. And Uber Freight is allowing new people to come in. And listen, this is what happens like with Uber cabs. I mean, there's Uber cabs everywhere. Lowers the price. So Uber's doing the right thing. I think that write-up says it won't be this quarter, but next quarter. I thought it was kind of important because the stock's down a lot. But you have to just say no to IPO. That's my...
That's your new thing?
Yeah, just say no to IPO. Just say no to IPO.
Period.
Because we can't handle, we being the market,
yeah,
handle another IPO. There's just no money around. In order to be able to buy an IPO, you got to sell an IPO because most money that comes in is indexed. Remember, because they got rid of individual stock pickers because they always underperform?
Yes, I remember when that happened.
So when you only, if you bring a deal, if you bring, let's say, Airbnb, don't you have to sell your Slack to get your Airbnb? How's Peloton doing?
Peloton's not doing well. But well, you make this argument, but we're not talking about large amounts of money.
What can we agree on? That the Jets suck? Remember, you're allowed to say suck because Elizabeth Warren said it and Mark Zuckerberg said it.
I can't disagree with that statement.
Right? Jets suck.
Some other guy out here.
No, you're allowed to. Senator Warren, who could putatively president
the last
Warren,
Jet fan,
said it's okay.
Works on the floor here.
I felt there was a guy named Falk who had 9 sacks. You know, he's in concussion protocol from psychiatric perspective.
Well, given Hooper's performance, obviously the drama around WeWork, now Masa-san gives this interview to Nikkei Business Magazine in which he says the results still have a long way to go, and that makes me embarrassed and impatient. I used to envy the scale of the markets in the U.S. and China, but now you see red-hot growth companies coming out of small markets like in Southeast Asia. There's just no excuse for entrepreneurs in Japan, myself included. Embarrassed and flustered.
He loves founders.
Right. He does?
He falls in love with founders, I think, Masa. When you talk to him and or people around him, he loves the vision, the passion. The question now will be, okay, but do you build enough guardrails around some of them, given how much capital you're actually giving them? And the case of WeWork is a perfect example of that. You know, Mr. Newman, as we pointed out, a very charismatic individual with a real vision, and certainly he did sway Masa to his side in a very big, significant way. The question is, could there have been a way to sort of help Mr. Newman position the company properly for a public offering in terms of so many things that might otherwise not have been had to hit the S-1 if they'd been taken care of? As in, don't sell all that stock. Don't buy a $60 million jet. Don't have your wife appoint your successor if something should happen to you. Maybe put a woman on the board of directors. Oh, I could think of a lot of other ones.
Even voting rights, maybe?
Yeah, maybe don't be 20-1 in your voting rights.
You know, billionaires are under real attack here. I'm starting to worry about that whole cohort, the billionaire cohort under siege.
Does it take sleep away from
you? David Tepper's going to continue to have a business. Am I worried about the billionaires? Just like Lennon was with the Culex.
So you're going to go from 3.5 hours to like 2 hours because an hour and a half is going to be spent.
What billionaire's not under assault right now?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Between the wealth tax, people favor an even modest wealth tax.
It's very upsetting.
I think it's going to be, this is an interesting moment. Tsai is a billionaire, right? He's under attack. Masa-san. Our billionaires are under attack.
This is the part of the show where we try sarcasm, I assume. Is that what we're doing here?
I'm just saying.
Remember, we're a podcast. It doesn't come across that well.
Yeah, we're on a podcast. Yeah. You're right. But there's billions, there's billionaires. Everybody. I mean, I don't think any group is suffering as much as the billionaires. Well, Mark Zuckerberg last week came out and said, listen, I'm giving away all my stock. To distinguish about how the billionaires, maybe the billionaires have too much emphasis.
We have a decade of central banks inflating assets at the expense of labor. So capital's won out over labor.
Well, that's what Elizabeth Warren's trying to reverse.
Yeah.
And I think that's
a 30-year, 40-year
question
trend,
is how you do it. The question is how you do it. Is it really an effective way to do it?
What do you want? Show trials?
Worth over 50
what is there to do? Show
or
trials?
Or is it a better way to just simply raise the capital gains taxes? Jim Stewart has come on so many
times. I think the capital gains. It's a lot easier.
At least an equivalent between passive income and actual work.
As someone who's gained a lot in capital gains, I can tell you I didn't really have to do anything versus ordinary income. We have to work really hard. But the capital gains have lower taxes. It is a little antithetical. But I know that Larry Kudlow has always preached low capital gains. They're in charge, David. The low capital gains people are in charge right now in the country.
When we come back, we'll get Cramer's Matt Dash. A lot to get to this week as we count down to the opening bell. Take another look at the pre-market. We'll get to GE and some additional calls on E-Trade, NVIDIA, Carnival, Wendy's, and more. Don't go away.
Always great to get the first Mad Dash of the week underway. Alteryx is what you want to focus on. Why?
I actually remember when Sending Me Forget-Me-Nots came out. That's how old I am. Okay, Alteryx, this is really important, Dave. It's actually key to this market. This has been one of these companies Alteryx is a way to be able to do melding data analytics without using Excel spreadsheets. It's much, much faster. Younger people, older people like me, would use an Excel spreadsheet. Alteryx is a way to be able to kind of eliminate that and do it faster. Dean Stoker's been on Mad Money. He is brilliant. This is one of the fastest growing companies. They have what's called a land and expand strategy, which is something that all the guys, you know, remember, growth at scale, land and expand. You know all these. These are called buzzwords.
Yes.
And this has a primo buzzword that's best of all is SaaS. It's a SaaS company, software as a service. That's the original model, and it's going to carry through. And if you do want to get rid of all your Excel and do it much cheaper and faster, you bring in Alteryx. So this one...
What's this been about, Jim? Is this just
the... reason I brought it up is this: every single one of these looks exactly like
right.
this.
Right, so SaaS...
Yeah, and it could be Twilio. We could be talking about...
Guys,
yeah, you know, ServiceNow, Workday, David. We could be talking about any one of these. Salesforce, we could be talking about. You get me? You get me?
Well, Salesforce has been more just like that.
Well, but
done
you know...
much of anything this year.
Well, yeah... I'm not going to disagree with that.
Okay.
But work days like that, ServiceNow certainly has been. The only one that's really avoided that is Coupa. Coupa's been very strong. But this is, if this one turns, then you're going to see a turn in what I call the Cloud Kings, including VMware and, David, the biggest of all, Adobe, which has been stalled here.
Adobe's been stalled
as Adobe's such a good company. I like Adobe right here, right now.
All right. Right here, right now. Alteryx. At least
it's not Alteryx. A lot of people make that mistake. It's Alteryx.
Alteryx.
Like Alter. Like Alter,
Alter.
RX, okay?
Alter RX. Got it.
Or XY. It's actually the axis, YX. See? Y. Remember the axis when you were Alter YX?
So much you learn here on Squawk.
I try. I try to throw a lot at you.
We've also got an opening bell coming up in a few minutes, so don't go anywhere.
Big weeks on tap as U.S.-China trade talks resume. Obviously, a bunch of Fed speak. We'll get plenty of data. The first trickle of Q3 earnings will come in. For now, though, futures down 74 on the Dow. We're back in a minute. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. The opening bell in 5 minutes on this Monday as we kick off a busy week. Of course, on Friday, Jim, you filled that gap from Wednesday.
Right.
Quite an interesting week. Morgan Stanley today reiterates that this is an environment that's not satisfying the bulls or the bears.
Well, it's true. I mean, how far are we through the correction? We don't know. Remember, the NASDAQ actually was up. NASDAQ is separating itself from the rest of the market, in part because Apple has been so strong. And some of the semiconductors have been so strong. I have to tell you that I think that last week, one of the seminal moments that we don't even talk about is the brokerage houses cut the commissions. And I don't think it's going to mean anything to the individual investor. The individual investor continues to leave the building no matter what, even with no commission. No one seems to care. I just am just in shock at how little interest there is in this market.
All right. UBS today takes E-Trade up to buy, even though they did cut TD Ameritrade. But, I mean, the stocks have come way down.
Loss of market cap was astounding.
It is.
Would not have anticipated. Yeah. Just that one day.
Wow. That was amazing.
One headline, one day. I've seen a lot of advertising around it. It's funny, this weekend in the newspaper, Schwab advertised, then Robinhood coming back and saying, we forced this, and there's a lot more coming from us.
I feel that this market is about disruption still. It's still about, whether it be Alteryx, which I just showed you, is disruption of the traditional Excel market, Robinhood, which we don't talk about enough, the disruption of what were three companies that were doing quite well, commission. We've got disruption. I don't know if you've been following what PayPal's been doing. They're disrupting everybody. You're disrupting the model that I'm seeing for a credit card, disrupting plastic. It's just rolling disruption. Uber, obviously, disrupting cabs. I mean, I don't think we can. This is an era where we're going to look back and say, wow, Silicon Valley disrupted so many industries.
Really? Because others argue it's a mixed record this year. Vaping, Bitcoin, even autonomous, right? It's going to take a lot longer than
autonomous. And now we're talking 2025. I think that one accident, terrible accident that occurred with autonomous in Arizona, really set back autonomous very big. And it meant it so that almost everything has to be modeled. Nothing can be done in reality.
It's interesting what we're willing to accept from human error,
yes,
not willing to accept from machine error.
That's a very good point. Like, we're willing to accept that it's no one's in favor of drunk driving. But, you know, if you could switch the car to automatic,
yeah, what
drunk,
about all the people who are texting and driving? That is, by the way, an absolute epidemic. I mean, all of us drive. How often do you follow either behind somebody or past somebody?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Doing this the whole time.
Cars should be shut down. They have the ability to do that, by the way, because Dan Hesse, former head of Sprint,
yes,
they had the coalition of cell phones had this ability to be able to shut a car if you were going to text. But that didn't happen.
Meanwhile, the data from around the world continues to be rough in Europe. Germany factory orders year on year down 6.7, and even domestic orders down 2.6 month on month. People say this is no longer about international trade.
How can Merkel not do something to expand that economy? They've got a budget surplus. How is it possible that you could have a major country not trying to expand its own economy? How is that
they
possible?
They have negative rates, too, so I don't know what...
Oh, and by the way, there's a piece out today on how lenders are starting to bring retail investors into the negative rate
game. Charge them,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Like, you have a deposit over a certain number?
Over 100,000, yeah. I think it is. You're going to start paying. Can you imagine that?
No.
Well, you might need to, because we're not that far here.
Oh, who knows how long lasts? We had 3% CDs out 5 years.
I know.
In just a few months.
That was a great deal.
It was really great. It ebbs and flows. I mean, people just presume, they take a trend line, they presume it's going to go negative. That's what they did at gold, with gold, just a month ago, trend line going positive.
Germany generates a surplus, so they clearly could induce deficit spending to try to juice the economy. But what do you do there? Particularly if you, I mean, rates.
What do you do? How about building things? You can build things. You can build a new set of autobahns.
They've got a pretty nice one. Maybe they could come over here and build ours.
We need an infrastructure.
Maybe we get the Germans to come here.
A lot of demand. We could easily do it. Our country easily could do it. We have room. We just do a $500 billion Make America Great bond. I've been saying that for a long time.
I think it's Infrastructure Week.
Is it? You make that up? There's two meteor showers this week. Nothing at all.
Let's get the opening bell here on this Monday. S&P 500 at the bottom of your screen. At the big board, the Golden State Warriors.
And
J.P. Morgan Chase celebrating the opening of Chase Center, the new home of the Warriors in San Francisco. And we'll talk with Rick Welch, the COO and president of the team in the next hour. At the NASDAQ, Ares Capital, a provider of financing to middle market companies.
I am Craig from the Warriors in speed dial. Got taken front row ticket. Paid them. Don't worry, I paid full price. But that is the best. I don't people realize that that is the best customer service I've ever seen the Warriors. I mean, it is an amazing outfit. Mark Benioff has front row seats right under the basket.
You've been.
Well, I got it. I paid for my tickets in. Then, you know, I had good tickets. The whole man money
Spencer
team.
And, right, yeah.
Katie Spencer is amazing.
Yes.
So is Heather Gaines, Regina Gilgan, who went to the Eagles Summit Hilltoppers game this weekend, where we crushed the Hilltoppers. Oh, no, that was the Jets. Sorry about that. I didn't mean that.
Sorry. Keep making Jet jokes. It's really funny.
It is funny. How about the solar companies with a subtle ruling against China? Suddenly the solar companies are doing well. Subtle ruling. Wow, the government has got a lot of things behind the scenes that are happening, like the total deregulation of the energy business, which is making it so that we just can't seem to make any progress in energy because there's just too much. The government's so pro everything. But Conoco was able to raise its dividend, which I thought was surprising.
Yeah, that's true. NVIDIA actually is going to lead the S&P at the get-go. RBC takes the target up to 217.
I love that piece.
From 190.
About gaming. I mean, gaming is just remember, this is a big position for my travel trust, but if you go back over what Jensen Huang said to me what happened when I was out there, he's just saying, look, we had a data center, there was a little hiccup, data center's back, we're going to, gaming needs his, I've seen his gaming, I could not tell whether it was life, whether it was real, or whether it was gaming. That's how good these drawings are. If you're Disney, you have no choice but to use NVIDIA chips. If you're Take-Two Interactive, their developers use NVIDIA chips. I think Lisa Su does a great job. She competes. But if you want really sophisticated GPUs, you got to use NVIDIA. So that stock is going higher. NVIDIA did.
I see it right there. It is going higher. That is a true statement, up 2.5%. And you keep talking about that Mellanox deal.
That deal is right at the crossroads of the whole China. Remember, Mellanox is the outside, the edge computing. It fits directly with what NVIDIA wants to do. Jensen Huang swears that deal is going to get done by year end, according to the press reports. I just don't think it's all up to the trade talks. the holistic trade talks that are no more.
What are you saying, no more?
I just don't, you can't get it. The president wants a comprehensive deal, David. The Chinese came out this weekend and said they don't want a comprehensive deal. How can you get a deal?
I have no ability to predict any of this stuff, and I don't know that you do either.
Warren is so anti-corporate versus the president, and the president's, remember, it's multinationals. That's who both of them are focused on. It's interesting, when you talk to the president's people, you kind of, Warren, a lot of similarities there in terms of what they want to do. The trade.
It's an interesting point. What
do you got there?
Aramark, it's worth mentioning, don't you?
Oh, man! Just a
morning. I mean, it was a while back we talked about this guy, Paul Halal, an activist.
It was raising, brutal.
You know, as they often do. I think it was in a special purpose vehicle, but raising money to take a very large stake in Aramark. For a while, I'd been hearing that he was trying to obviously do a lot more than just take a 9.8% stake and had potentially some other investors along with him, but that didn't come to fruition. But he does own, he's the largest shareholder, and now Jimmy's
he took
basically
over.
Replaced the board.
He replaced the board. This is a
John
company.
John Zillmer, named CEO of Aramark.
Amazing.
The board has been reconstituted. Effective immediately.
I thought that was extraordinary.
The board of directors is now Susan Cameron, Karen King, Art Winkleback joined the board immediately. Greg Creed.
But Steve Sadoff stays chairman.
From Yum's current CEO,
right.
Soon to step down, will join the board at new annual meeting. And Halal himself is going to become vice chairman.
People don't really move. It's a very big company. They provide food service for many stadiums. They find food service for us, companies.
Yes, yeah.
And so, this is one of the Philadelphia's biggest companies. I remember when it was formed, and this just kind of happened. It wasn't. He took over the company.
Yeah, he got what he wanted to a certain extent in terms of at least gaining a lot of control with his 9.8% stake without actually buying the entire company. We'll see what they choose to do in terms of a plan here.
I'm so glad you brought it up because
we're going to keep an eye on activism in the weeks ahead, too. We've mentioned two other big fights or potential fights. Marathon Petroleum with Elliott,
yep. Right,
and John Pike leading that fight for them. And what the company will choose to do.
We haven't heard from Mr. Heminger.
Really pursues that split.
We haven't heard from Mr. Heminger.
No. And then Emerson, which a week ago came out with their plan to jump ahead of D.E. Shaw, which is pushing them as well to do any number of different things. Both of those in process. So we'll be following both closely.
Marathon's
some amount of activism. This Aramark, obviously, is kind of already took place.
It's funny. These Marathon's actually doing okay. Emerson's linked to China. I don't know how much more people think they could do.
Yeah.
But the Aramark is just sudden. I mean, when they sent me the release this morning, it's like, holy cow, this is a, I don't want to call it a sleepy Philadelphia company, a well-run Philadelphia company, and then boom, it's very just kind of, wow, right there. New CEO. Remember what, in July, they replaced the previous CEO. It's been a while.
Yes.
Waiting for,
right,
wasn't
waiting
like,
for somebody, right, it wasn't
no.
like they tossed
right.
somebody.
Exactly right.
That's good.
Exactly right.
Good.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's a big deal.
Two big stories in GM, where the UAW says talks took a turn for the worse. Stock's down about 1%. Still talking, though. Day 22 of the strike. And then GE, Jim, as they try to announce plans to reduce their pension liability by up to $8 billion.
Just to be candid about this, when you get the GE note, it's kind of like Tusa's note last week about aircraft. It's very hard. I mean, I got the note at around 6 a.m. And you spend like a half hour analyzing what they're doing with the pension plan. You realize what they're basically doing is what a lot of other companies are doing, which is make it so there's not going to be more contributions. It does cut down the pension risk, but it's, remember, people want, they want revenue and earnings growth. They don't, it's nice that they're doing this, GE, for shareholders, not that nice for workers, but Larry Culp does recognize this is not the year. Anything's going to happen.
Next year may not be the year either.
I was going to say that.
Long-term turnarounds.
Right.
Long being the operative word.
The damage that was done here was just inconceivable. How much damage. I mean, he has to check off every box, whether it be pension, whether it be long-term care, whether it be turbines. David, it's not turbines. Turbines.
It's turbines. And by the way, operating in a not great macro environment, particularly when you're a multinational and you're also selling a lot of stuff into China, too. Right?
And Boeing.
Boeing. And market, you know, sort of.
Yeah.
Right,
with, you know, Boeing. This GM news is very important because as GM drags on its base, 40,000 employees who are making basically $200 a week. And then you have Boeing not being able to generate any real return. These are the two And when you try to figure out bulk employers in this country, Boeing and GM are about as big as they get. It's going to slow down GDP is what I'm saying.
Because you're saying because the strike, people are only making $200 a year, and that's what the union's giving them right now, and Boeing as well is not employing as many people because of
the max
problems.
I just continue to think that this is a market where there's very few winners, but there's just a lot of companies doing nothing. Stocks doing nothing. I mean, you know, we see Walmart, not Amazon even, you know, Walmart, Target, Costco, Home Depot.
Well, speaking of Walmart, announcing today an exclusive deal with Roku to create a sound bar and wireless subwoofer. Be exclusive to Walmart. Both products on the shelves in the coming weeks for $129 each. Roku's up 2%.
Is that against Amazon? Amazon Fire Stick? Roku and Amazon increasing. Remember, there's a world coming down between Walmart and Amazon. Walmart does not use Amazon Web Services, obviously.
They are key competitors.
We should do that. We should do a piece about the bilateral,
it's the
bipolar.
Same way that now Disney's not going to take Netflix ads.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, they're competitors.
Yeah, but we haven't done enough real thought about that.
We haven't?
No, it's like Adobe versus Salesforce. Adobe's lined up with Microsoft. You know, Satya's lined up with Shantanu. I mean, there are really big schisms. Even like 2 years ago, no one really thought about these things. Like you used, people were willing to fund the enemy by using Amazon Web Services because it's so cheap.
No longer.
No longer.
Point, right?
Yeah,
no longer. You've got to pick your appropriate partners, so to speak.
But these are the biggest stories out there. When you talk out there, I mean, they're not talking necessarily about, look, everyone's talking about Warren and whether she would break up companies. That is the biggest fear for a lot of people out there. She has not allayed that fear, from what I can tell.
You know, I know we always refer to it as though the president would be in a position to do that.
Right.
Well, last I still like to believe is there are actual laws. You have to make a case. You have to win in order to do that. The president just can't decree even this one.
I can play your game. You can play your game.
Speaking of,
now I see what it's like when I get nothing.
It's pretty frustrating, isn't it?
Speaking of cases, today's first Monday in October. U.S. Supreme Court declines to hear cases involving Domino's, Amazon, a wage dispute, Apple, turning away a University of Wisconsin appeal on a patent lawsuit.
And Domino's is what? What are they doing? Because that company reports tomorrow.
Yeah, as we one of the few Q3 numbers we'll get this week, along with Levi's and Delta.
Levi's is still expect a weak quarter. Delta, I expect a weak quarter. Domino's is very important because of the third party. There's another disruption. Remember, the DoorDash plays with wampum is the term we used to use.
Right.
They play with venture capital money and it's been able to fund so many of Domino's competitors. By the way, Wendy's got a downgrade. Wendy's today by Cowen ahead of an incredibly important analyst on Friday. Analyst meeting. That's heresy.
Yeah, not the first one we've gotten that's centered on worries about breakfast plans in 2020. I think it's at least the second one that I've seen.
Breakfast and Brexit. Two things that are underrated as worries.
How about Carnival Cruise?
Oh,
HSBC goes to hold. They go from 68 to 43 on bookings for next year. Stock's almost at a five-year low.
Weather hasn't really cooperated, but that's a kind of a cut. Remember, we used to think, for a while we thought that millennials like cruises. I think they like cruises. You know, millennials are kind of the brain of a mayfly, and they like cruises for about three quarters because it was good for Instagram. That was the end of that.
So you think it's a demographic story?
Yes, I do. I don't want to mean Royal Caribbean's done quite well, and Norwegian's done well, quite well versus Carnival. But the cruise business and the RV business had been something that the millennials liked. Thor, and the millennials just kind of moved on. The millennials just think they're another disruptive force. They like you, and then they hate you.
Hogs down 3%. A Reuters story saying they're not getting traction on this new bike. And no sign that the demographics are going to reverse on that, on the appeal of the motorcycle in this day.
Yeah, it's just going down.
How do millennials feel about Netflix these days?
I think they're not as in favor as they used to be.
No,
I know. There's
some
too many
research
offerings
out this morning. You know, people track global downloads, and apparently there has been a slowdown in global downloads at a similar level that we saw through the end of September. which was a slowdown from the mid to high teens growth in both July and August. So that's got some analysts saying, well, maybe the fourth quarter is not going to be.
Yeah, but when you go, you guys go on your TV. I mean, I don't know how many different
we got, but
how many
Netflix
do you have?
Is up a bit. Say again.
Like how many different offerings? I mean, I go and I say, well, there's Hulu and there's Amazon Prime, and Amazon Video, and there's Netflix. There's like a ton of.
Yeah,
ESPN, Netflix,
Hulu, Amazon, and HBO.
I think there's on Wii. There's eight. There's cable. There's direct TV on Wii. DTC offering on Wii.
Direct to consumer.
On Wii. There's too many things. I'm watching this thing, Line of Duty. Okay, it's a British offering. I get it on Amazon. They charge me every month.
Right.
Every week, get charged. I don't care.
Wait, you're paying additionally for it?
Yes.
Oh, via the Amazon.
Yes, I'm paying additional. And how about, why do I feel like I'm getting an Apple bill like every 30 seconds now?
Yes.
Yeah, I pay for everything Apple.
Delete.
$2.99. Yeah, $2.99. They just nick at you.
I don't know.
They nick at you. They got $3.99 or $5.99. They have to add up eventually, right?
It does.
Right?
Well, at least Joker demonstrates we're still going to the movies.
I couldn't believe
that. Biggest October opening ever. At $93.5 million. Sorry, only cost $60 to make.
I was thinking that could help ATT's debt load. What do you think?
No. I think it helps, but it doesn't help.
You don't think $30 million up profit? No,
I don't think so.
ATT owes a lot of money, is what you're saying?
They do, but interest rates are low, and they are still generating a decent amount of free cash flow right now.
I like ATT, the stock. I like the stock. I think the stock represents value.
AT&T.
Yes!
Well, Elliot believes that, too.
Thank you.
May have some differences in approach with current management, but they basically believe.
I think we have to move on with my last word, that ATT's good being the last word.
All right. With that, we're down 123 to start this week. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Bob?
Yeah, not a great start, Carl. 3-1 declining to advancing stocks. And once again, a lot of this is trade related. The more cyclical names are weaker here. Just take a look here. Semiconductors, thank heaven, still continuing to be flat. They started on the upside. But metals, mining, transports. Transports had a terrible week last week. It dropped below the 200-day moving average there. Not good for them. Industrials weak. Energy, again, these are cyclical names that we're seeing on the weak side. In terms of market trends and what's going on, I mentioned the Dow and the S&P. Well, they're down 3 straight weeks right now. That's a bit of an issue for them. We're also seeing the transports and financials. They had a tough week last week, the worst week since August for both of those. We saw rates drop. That didn't help. And, of course, we've been talking about the IPO market, that's down 15% off of its recent highs here. In terms of where we are, again, trade discussions going on, that's the most important thing. This weekend story that China might not agree to a complete, big, comprehensive trade deal has got everybody talking. But the 80% deal, as a lot of traders have been calling it, have been around for months now. And basically here you'd have no industrial reform here, agreement to stop subsidies to state-owned firms. China would buy agricultural products. You'd get some commitments, still a little bit vague, on intellectual property rights. And the most important thing for the markets, the belief that there would, at the minimum, be no additional tariffs, or that they would roll back the tariffs. That, of course, either side of that would move the market positive or flattish. So that's going to be the key thing, and we're still unresolved on where all of that might go. Trade is the dominant mover of the market this year. You can see this in the dispersion of the sector returns that we've seen. Look, the way I look at it, which is off their 52-week highs, not year-to-date, but where they are from their 52-week highs, it's all defensive stocks holding up. The consumer staples, the utility, technology, thank heavens, because the semiconductor business on growth prospects continue to hold up, but that's the movers on the market. And if you look what's furthest off of their 52-week highs, they all tend to be on the defensive side, on the cyclical side. Materials, banks down 12%, energy down 27%. Keep a big eye on energy. You're going to see a lot of tax loss selling around some of these energy stocks. We can talk about that a little bit later on and see what's going on with that. Here's what else is going on here. I think the important thing right now is we're going to see a lot of discussions about the IPO market. And I know it seems like a little quiet right now. We've got too many IPOs. We've got some big ones coming up. Just today, we had an announcement of BellRing Brands is going to probably price in the next week. This is Post Cereals, big active nutrition spinoff. They own the power bar segments, nutrition bars, protein bars, really a hot thing. They're going to go public, probably in the next 2 weeks. 30 million shares, 16 to 19. This is not a nothing IPO. This is a more than $500 million raise here. So this is sort of the next big one coming up. And probably, as I mentioned, sometimes next week, IPO, ETF, we've talked about this. It moved right in line with the top of the market. So here it was in July. This top line is the IPO ETF. The bottom line is the S&P 500 for the year. And you see this whole outperformance gap that we've seen. And now you see how that gap in the last month narrowed considerably. We're essentially in line with the performance of the S&P 500 for IPOs. And up to here, we were up 30%. So that market has definitely come down and did coincide with the top of the market right at the end of July. Finally, big special guest coming up at Halftime Report, Charles Schwab, the man himself. New book out. The book is called Invested. Talks about his history, developing Charles Schwab into an investment powerhouse. But we're going to be talking about, of course, the zero commission move that the company made recently. We'll talk about IPOs. We'll talk about whether investors are getting a better deal now than 40 years ago when he helped found that very big company. Guys, back to you.
Thanks, Bob Pisani. Meantime, the NBA and the Houston Rockets trying to mend ties with China and the business community after the team's general manager, Daryl Morey, tweeted support for protesters in Hong Kong. The NBA called that tweet regrettable. Alibaba's Joe Tsai, who owns the Brooklyn Nets, wrote in a Facebook post that fans and the rest of China's 1.4 billion citizens viewed territorial integrity and sovereignty as non-negotiable issues. Morey has removed his tweet and replaced it with an apology. Getting reactions from senators, you name it. Everybody has an opinion on what the NBA should do now.
It's the 500 million people watch the games over there. They had just for game six, they had 21 million Chinese fans. This is considered to be the home team by very many because of Yao Ming, who's important in basketball there. At the same time, it's really amazing. Some people feel that they have sold out the people of Hong Kong on the order of big money.
Well, the NBA has encouraged its players, perhaps more than any other sports league, to speak openly.
Right.
We've seen a number of prominent NBA stars talking about issues of the day here in the United States. So it's not that uncommon to expect that you could express your opinion. But in this case, the Chinese, one tweet, the Chinese come back hard.
What was Morey tweeting about? Wasn't he tweeting about free speech?
Yes.
No.
Support democracy, support
yes.
protesters.
Well, how could everyone be so quick to denigrate a pro-democracy state?
Who's being so quick to denigrate it?
Well, the NBA.
The Chinese.
The owner of the team. Owner of the Nets.
Truman Fertitta's the owner,
Didn't he take it back?
He said that Morey does not speak for the Rockets.
But that's when our country was founded upon the idea. Of free speech and freedom?
Yes.
Or was it founded on the order of big money in China? Which was it founded on? Was it founded on the idea that we have a lot of fans of basketball in China?
I don't remember that being in the Constitution.
No, I checked that. There's no amendment. The First Amendment's pretty active.
It is, and typically we do, as a national government, along with our executive, speak out in face of protests for democracy.
Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. Since when is that controversial? Well, how about when there's big money on the line?
Yeah, when you're doing a lot of business in China.
Well, that's just great. Isn't that what this whole thing's about?
So what are they supposed to do? Wrap it up?
Maybe forego some revenue? Maybe admit that it's okay to take a hit? Maybe make less? Is that all right? Or are we just supposed to make as much money as possible and do whatever's necessary?
You're a man masquerading as a dollar sign and you're saying that?
Hey, listen, I changed my look. I'm 64. I'm favoring free speech. If I can't come out with it now, when am I ever going to come out for it?
When we come back, we're going to get some reaction to this controversy from Golden State Warriors COO Rick Welts. In the meantime, we're off 100 points to start the week. Don't go away. Dow down about 100 points here. S&P back to 2940 ahead of a very busy week. More Squawk on the Street continues after a break. Jim, what's on Matt tonight?
Ring Central made a big deal with Avaya the other day, and let me tell you something. Vlad Schmitz is just killing it. RNG, look at that thing go, and we've got him tonight. I can't believe it. Good booking.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.